Chapter 5. Miss Thyra Flowerdew. No one spoke to the young woman at dinner, but she still enjoyed her dinner and gave serious attention to all the courses. Being busy with this, she did not give much attention to the conversation of the other guests. Nor was the conversation especially original. It mostly focused on the faults of the food. But suddenly, the talk passed on to another topic. She heard the word music mentioned and at once became interested. She wanted to learn what these people had to say on a subject dearer to her than any other. "For my own part," said a serious-looking old man, "I have no words to describe what a comfort music has been in my life. It is the best language that man may understand and speak. And sometimes, I think that those who know it are able to find answers to life's problems." "I have lived a long life," said another elderly man. "Therefore, I have had my share of trouble. But the grief of having to give up music was the longest grief. I still wish once more to touch the strings of the cello. I still desire to be able to play Beethoven's string quartets in concert. But that will be another life, I think." He glanced at his shrunken arm. He added, "But when the first feeling of pain is over, there remains the comfort of being a listener. There is no resisting the magic influence. Lowell said correctly that one of God's great gifts is music." "I did not know you were musical, Mr. Keith," said an English lady. "You have never before spoken of music." "Perhaps not, madam," he answered. "One does not often speak of what one loves most, but I rarely miss hearing our best players in London." At this point, others joined in, and popular pianists were warmly discussed. "What a wonderful name that little English lady has made for herself," said the major, who was well respected. "I would go anywhere to hear Miss Thyra Flowerdew. We should be very proud of her. She has conquered the German musical world. I myself have heard her in New York, Leipzig, London, Berlin, and even Chicago." The young woman became uneasy in her chair. "I don't think Miss Flowerdew has ever been to Chicago," she said. A dead silence followed. The admirer of Miss Thyra Flowerdew looked angry and uncomfortable. He had meant to say Philadelphia, but he did not think it necessary to admit his mistake. "How rude," said one of the ladies to Miss Blake. "What can she know about it? Is she not the young person who tuned the piano?" "Perhaps she tunes Miss Thyra Flowerdew's piano," suggested Miss Blake in a loud whisper. "You are right, madam," the young woman said quietly. "I have often tuned Miss Flowerdew's piano." There was another silence, and then a lovely old lady, whom everyone respected, came to the rescue. "I think her playing is simply excellent," she said. "She plays like an angel." "Listening to her," said the major, who had now recovered from being corrected, "one feels that she is the music itself, and that is rare. It is not common that we are allowed to forget the personality of the player. And yet her personality is strange. Having seen her, it would not be easy to forget her. I should recognize her anywhere." As he spoke, he glanced at the little tuner. He could not help admiring her ability to remain calm in these stressful social circumstances. When she rose with the others, he followed her and said, "I am sorry that I was the indirect cause of putting you in a stressful situation." "It is fine," she said brightly. "If you think I was not respectful, I ask your forgiveness. The words were spoken before I was aware of them." She passed into the salon. There she found a quiet corner for herself and read some of the newspapers. No one took notice of her. Not a word was spoken to her, but when she left, the others commented on her. "I am sorry that she heard what I said," remarked Miss Blake, "but she did not seem to mind. These young women who go out into the world lose their sensitivity. I have always observed that." "How much they are spared, then," answered someone.